Text 6. Art for Heart's Sake by Rube Goldberg. Here, take your pineapple juice, gently persuaded Copple, the male nurse.
Nope, grunted Collis P. Ellsworth.
But it's good for you, sir.
Nope.
It's doctor's orders.
Nope.
Copple heard the front door bell and was glad to leave the room. He found Dr. Caswell in the hall downstairs.
I can't do a thing with him, he told the doctor. He won't take his pineapple juice. He doesn't want me to read to him. He hates the radio. He doesn't like anything.
Dr. Caswell received the information with his usual professional calm. He had done some constructive thinking since his last visit. This was no ordinary case. The old gentleman was in pretty good shape for a man of 76. But he had to be kept from buying things. He had suffered his last heart attack after his disastrous purchase of that jerkwater railroad out in Iowa. All his purchases of recent years had to be liquidated at a great sacrifice, both to his health and his pocketbook. The doctor drew up a chair and sat down close to the old man. I've got a proposition for you, he said quietly. Old Ellsworth looked suspiciously over his spectacles. How'd you like to take up art? The doctor had his stethoscope ready, in case the abruptness of the suggestion proved too much for the patient's heart. But the old gentleman's answer was a vigorous rut. I don't mean seriously, said the doctor, relieved that disaster had been averted. Just fool around with chalk and crayons. It'll be fun.
Bosh!
All right. The doctor stood up. I just suggested it, that's all.
But, Caswell, how do I start playing with the chalk? That is, if I'm foolish enough to start.
I've thought of that, too. I can get a student from one of the art schools to come here once a week and show you. Dr. Caswell went to his friend, Judson Livingston, head of the Atlantic Art Institute, and explained the situation. Livingston had just the young man, Frank Swain, 18 years old, and a promising student. He needed the money, ran an elevator at night to pay tuition. How much would he get? $5 a visit. Fine. Next afternoon, young Swain was shown into the big living room. Collis P. Ellsworth looked at him appraisingly. Sir, I'm not an artist yet, answered the young man.
Hmm?
Swain arranged some paper and crayons on the table. Let's try and draw that vase over there on the mantelpiece, he suggested. Try it, Mr. Ellsworth, please.
Hmm.
The old man took a piece of crayon in a shaky hand and made a scrawl. He made another scrawl and connected the two with a couple of crude lines.
There it is, young man, he snapped with a grunt of satisfaction. Such foolishness. Poppycock.
Frank Swain was patient. He needed the $5. If you want to draw, you will have to look at what you're drawing, sir. Old Ellsworth squinted and looked. By gum, it's kind of pretty. I never noticed it before. When the art student came the following week, there was a drawing on the table that had a slight resemblance to the vase. The wrinkles deepened at the corners of the old gentleman's eyes as he asked elfishly, Well, what do you think of it?
Not bad, sir, answered Swain. But it's a bit lopsided.
By gum, old Ellsworth chuckled, I see. The halves don't match. He added a few lines with a palsied hand and coloured the open spaces blue, like a child playing with a picture book. Then he looked towards the door. Listen, young man, he whispered, I want to ask you something before old pineapple juice comes back.
Yes, sir, responded Swain respectfully.
I was thinking,
Could you spare the time to come twice a week, or perhaps three times?
Sure, Mr. Ellsworth.
Good. Let's make it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 4 o'clock.
As the weeks went by, Swain's visits grew more frequent. He brought the old man a box of watercolors and some tubes of oils. When Dr. Caswell called, Ellsworth would talk about the graceful lines of the andirons. He would dwell on the rich variety of color in a bowl of fruit. He proudly displayed the variegated smears of paint on his heavy silk dressing gown. He would not allow his valet to send it to the cleaners. He wanted to show the doctor how hard he'd been working. The treatment was working perfectly. No more trips downtown to become involved in purchases of enterprises of doubtful solvency. The doctor thought it safe to allow Ellsworth to visit the Metropolitan, the Museum of Modern Art, and other exhibits with Swain. An entirely new world opened up its charming mysteries. The old man displayed an insatiable curiosity about the galleries and the painters who exhibited in them. How were the galleries run? Who selected the canvases for the exhibitions? An idea was forming in his brain. When the late spring sun began to cloak the fields and gardens with color, Ellsworth executed a god-awful smudge, which he called Trees Dressed in White. Then he made a startling announcement. He was going to exhibit it in the summer show at the Lathrop Gallery. For the summer show at Lathrop Gallery was the biggest art exhibit of the year in quality, if not in size. The lifetime dream of every mature artist in the United States was a Lathrop prize. Upon this distinguished group, Ellsworth was going to foist his Trees Dressed in White, which resembled a gob of salad dressing thrown violently up against the side of a house. If the papers get hold of this, Mr. Ellsworth will become a laughingstock. We've got to stop him, groaned Copple. No, admonished the doctor, we can't interfere with him now and take a chance of spoiling all the good work that we've accomplished. To the utter astonishment of all three, and especially Swain, Trees Dressed in White was accepted for the Lathrop show. Fortunately, the painting was hung in an inconspicuous place, where it could not excite any noticeable comment. Young Swain sneaked into the gallery one afternoon and blushed to the top of his ears when he saw Trees Dressed in White, a loud, raucous splash on the wall. As two giggling students stopped before the strange anomaly, Swain fled in terror. He could not bear to hear what they had to say. During the course of the exhibition, the old man kept on taking his lessons, seldom mentioning his entry in the exhibit. He was unusually cheerful. 2 days before the close of the exhibition, a special messenger brought a long, official-looking envelope to Mr. Ellsworth while Swain, Copple, and the doctor were in the room. "Read it to me," requested the old man. "My eyes are tired from painting." "It gives the Lathrop Gallery pleasure to announce that the first landscape prize of $1,000 has been awarded to Collis P. Ellsworth for his painting Trees Dressed in White." Swain and Copple uttered a series of inarticulate gurgles. Dr. Caswell, exercising his professional self-control with a supreme effort, said, "Congratulations, Mr. Ellsworth. Fine, fine. See, see, of course, I didn't expect such great news, but, well, now, you'll have to admit that art is much more satisfying than business." "Art's nothing," snapped the old man. "I bought the Lathrop Gallery last month."